Great singing this morning. Thank you for that song. That's great. Better than the version on the radio. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. You know how the old devil is. He'll try to make you feel unworthy. Had somebody tell me this week, they said, you know, I just don't feel like I'm worthy to go to church. That's what the devil wants you to think. But you know, if you've been saved by the grace of God, all that stuff is gone. Yes. Even if you're saved and you come, and we deal with it every day, this old flesh living in this world, we stumble, we bring it and put it before the Lord. We come brokenhearted and with a contrite spirit and we give it to Him. And then you know what happens when He takes it? It's gone. It is the devil that brings it up, that tries to make you feel unworthy. That doesn't come from God. As she sang that song, I thought about this. I like that scripture that talks about when such were some of you. Thank God we're not what we used to be. Amen? I'm glad I'm not what I was yesterday. Sometimes what the devil wants you to think is what you got or your dirt is too much dirt for God. That's just not true. God can handle whatever it is that you have this morning, whatever it is. If you got your Bible, we're going to read in Psalms 127th chapter, and I'm going to try to bring the message that I believe God has laid on my heart. This is something that's been on my heart for a couple of weeks. It's been on my mind this week, and as I heard a preacher say one time, I don't pick them, I just preach them as God sends them. And I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And if I were to ask you to pray for me, now, folks, I do have battles just like you. I'm just like you. I remember one time I was in Bible college, and these young men, kind of like what Brother Jeff said earlier, you know, one time I quoted a verse of Scripture, and they said, where's that out in the Bible? That was before the iPad. Now, I knew it was in there. I knew it. Everywhere I go, I got it on my phone. I got it on my iPad. I look it up. But it was verses in Psalms chapter number 14, Proverbs 14. I'm not going to tell you which one it is because I don't want to get you distracted in your mind. But I can remember being in Bible college and sometimes in boys, you know how it is, and this is where we got to be careful. We begin to think about Moses. You think about how great Moses was. Or you begin to think about Abraham and how great Abraham was. Or even Paul. Here's what I want you to understand. They were just like you. The boy made the comment. He said, you know the deity in the Bible. And he started naming off Moses and Abraham. I said, whoa, that's not deity. Those are men. You know who God uses to do His work? Ordinary men and women. And He does not do what He does because of us. He does what He does in spite of us. Because if I had to be worthy, I would never make it. Okay? So it's about Him and not us. And let's keep that in our hearts and minds. And that's kind of what we want to talk about this morning. The title of the message is Who is Building Your House? Now I want to go back to this scripture. Bible readers, you might remember it. You might remember where it's at. You might remember part of it. But I want to read these two verses to you. And I want you to think about them and think about them in light of the world that we're living in today. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. Now, I want us to think about this in light of, and obviously there's so much here we could never cover it all if we tried, but I want us to try to bring it to us, okay? Now, think about our house. It says here, except the Lord build the house. Now, here's the thing I want us to understand in that respect. It's my home, okay? We've all got a home that we go back to, a place where we live, and you know, it doesn't matter whether it be a 5,500 or a 6,000 square foot house or an 800 square foot house. It's the place you call home. It's the place where you dwell. It's the place where you rest. It's like I've said sometimes, doesn't really matter where we live, because all I'm going to do is sleep a little bit there. Now that the boys are big enough to cut the grass, I don't even do that. But what about this? Except the Lord build the house. Let's take it a step further. What about my life? The life that I say, and a lot of times people talk about and they say, my life. The word history is his story. And here's what I want us to really understand. It's not really our life. You know, I thank God for my children, but the truth is they're not going to stay little long, right? They're going to grow up, and my job really ultimately is to help them become the men and the women that God wants them to be. Because I have to give them to him. They're not mine anyway. I want us to understand that about our life, the life that we call ours. When we talk about the things that we're going to do, and you think about what you want to do, except the Lord builds your life, you're building it in vain. Okay? What about my marriage? Okay? We're living in times today to where there are things that come against you every day. There's stress, there's challenges, there's work challenges, there's financial challenges, there's things that we deal with. Even people that love God, that serve God, I want you to understand, and you already know this. And you know, sometimes I kind of talk about my wife and I, and she said this to me a couple of weeks ago. She said, they like it when you talk about us fighting. You do it too. You have your challenges too. Some people just not. You know, the truth is, we don't want to expose our dirty laundry. We don't want to expose our junk. But I want to tell you right now, if it wasn't for the Lord, me and Sparks wouldn't be able to live together. Amen. Amen, brother. And it's all my fault. Oh, amen. What about your career? You know, in young people, I want y'all to understand something. Y'all are beautiful. I'm so glad y'all are here. You know, you get out of high school, and I know, you know, I've been around and watched some since we've been here. We've had 4 graduating classes since I've been here. And you see them in a couple of years out of high school, you know what they begin to think about? Boy, maybe school wasn't so bad after all. But you know, we begin to think about, what do I want to do with my life? Most important thing with your life is follow God. Honor God with whatever you do. And the Bible teaches, all that you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. But what we need to really understand as we relate this scripture is, even when I'm choosing a school, even when I'm choosing a career, and you say, well, I just need a job. And I understand that. But I do believe this. I believe, Lord, and this is important for me, put me where you want me. God, put me where you want. Now, here's the hard part of that. And this is sometimes the reason people don't pray this way. I don't like where God put me. I've been there, done that. We all go through that. But the question, it says, except the Lord build. Here's the point. I want him with me. I want him with me in everything I do. What about our city? Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Now, here's what I want us to understand a little bit. It could be our church. Do you know that it is so important in the house of God that we come together and we be obedient and follow the Spirit of the Lord? You know, I had a little bit of teaching here on Wednesday night, and we talked about how the Bible says, you know, it says, judge not that you be not judged. I want to tell you something. There's more in the Bible about your responsibility to judge than there is the fact that you shouldn't judge. Why is that verse there? It's to keep you from judging somebody else harshly and bringing condemnation on yourself. That's what it's about. But you know, as a family of God, as a people of God, and we kind of got into this, could you imagine me walking into my son's room and it looking like a tornado hit it, and the first thing he says is, don't judge. Sometimes we have to judge. But the scripture also says this, judge righteous judgment. Micah 6:8 says this, what does the Lord require of you? But that you do justly, you love mercy, and you walk humbly before your God. You see, here's the point. What we want in our church house is, we want this to be God's house. We want to be led by His Spirit. We want to come in here and walk in unity. We don't want to have a fighting conference because we're replacing the conference and it's going to be a different color. I don't care what color it is, as long as people come and pray, as long as people are being saved. But when we get away from God and the devil gets in the midst, he can destroy our city. What about our government? I tell you what we need. We need somebody that's not afraid to pray. Somebody that's not afraid to say Merry Christmas. Somebody that'll tell you. Now, I know that we got people out there that with different opinions than us. But I'll tell you where we're at in America today. It's not just that people want a different opinion. They want to stop you. They don't want to just have their opinion. They want to stop you and they want to stop me. That's where it's got to draw the line. You see, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Now, there are those who think that they can do it without God. They think they can have a fine home without God. They can have a fine life without God. And, you know, the Bible does say that they have their season, right? There's pleasure in sin for a season. It talks about the prosperous wicked. But I want to tell you, it does also say that they shall soon, suddenly be cut off. And I thought about this scripture in Romans chapter number 3, two verses that I want to read to you. See, there are those that think they can do it without God. In some places, sometimes the number's growing. But don't let anybody tell you that God's not doing the work. Because God is doing the work. There are places around the world today to where the gospel is being preached. In some places, even in quiet churches in people's basements in China. And people are coming to the Lord in large numbers. Why? I'll tell you, ultimately, it's a different message because we're getting things lined up for the return of Christ. Amen. And the Bible says that that gospel will first be published in all nations, and there's not a nation in the world today where people aren't being saved. Amen. Listen to Romans chapter 3 and verse number 3. It says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? In other words, if I say that I don't believe it, does that change it? Absolutely not. The fourth verse says, God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. And you can go to Psalm 62 and 9 and you can find a reference verse to that. But I want to tell you something. Just because people don't believe it doesn't change it. Just because there are homes that don't have God in them, and sometimes you say, well, they seem to be doing all right. Well, I want to tell you something. There's a whole lot more trouble out there right now because people have rejected God. And it's almost like trying to say, I think we can find a way that everything's going to be all right, and we're just going to get rid of God, and we're going to get rid of the Bible, and we're going to take God out of our schools, and we're going to take the Ten Commandments off the wall, and we're going to get rid of the nativity scenes, and we're going to get rid of any reference to gospel or of Jesus Christ, and I think we'll be fine. No, we're not going to be fine. I'll tell you why God has blessed this nation, because this nation has cried out to God. And it's still being blessed today because there are people crying out to God. You see, the teaching of the Scripture is basically this. We cannot do it our way. We cannot build our own house. We cannot build our own city. And I've said this before. If we expect anything to prosper, we need God in it. Okay, anything. You can say, well, you mean anything? Well, I don't know if y'all have ever done this. But if you've ever laid on your back on a driveway and tried to put a fuel pump on or a steering sector on a Jeep by yourself, I've done that. I got one arm here, one arm threw something up here, threw my knee up trying to hold something up. Eventually, I stopped and I said, Lord, please help me. Anything you do, I tell you what, it's different when you got God in it. Anything. See, ultimately, it's vain. It's vain. Here's what it says. For me to try to build or think that I can prosper without God. It's vain. Now here's some things that I want us to understand what happens when we attempt to build our own house and do it our own way. I'm going to do it my way. I was at a funeral one time several years ago. And I wasn't there to preach the funeral. I was there to support the preachers that did. And it was a family that's kind of like this. On this side over here, you had the people that believed in God. Or you could say vice versa. I'm not picking on y'all. But the other side, you had people that didn't believe in God. And one part of the family, they wanted a preacher to come and preach. But you know, there are a lot of funerals in America today. There's no preacher. There's no service. There's no songs. I got an email from a guy that said this. We're just going to have a small ash scattering and get it over with. I want to tell you something. When I leave here, I'm going to be with the Lord. And you can tell a lot about a nation by the way the nation treats their dead. That's why we honor them. But I was in that funeral, and the preacher got up to preach, and the family that didn't believe in God, they didn't like it. And one of them got up and went up behind the pulpit, and they pushed the button on a cassette player and started playing Elvis Presley, "I Did It My Way." Now, I'm sitting there. I didn't come to preach. I didn't have my Bible, but I slapped the bench like I thought it was there. Because I wanted to stand up and tell them, you might do it your way for a little while, but there's going to come a time, the Bible says, that every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, we're going to stand before God, but will we stand before Him believing or rejecting? You see, here's what happens when you build your way. You start with a wrong foundation, okay? See, if you don't build on the right foundation, you're going to have problems. I remember one time I was in Wisconsin in the Wausau area, and we were sitting at a restaurant, and I was looking across at a building, and it was odd because it was the most beautiful building in that little town. It had granite and it had stone, and it looked so pretty, and I said, that building's beautiful. It doesn't even look like it fits here. They say, but there's a problem with the building. They say that building is sinking, and it has already sunk 2 feet on its right side, and it's going down, and that building, they have a certain amount of time to get out of it because that building is being condemned. They said when they built that building, they did not build it on the right foundation, and everything you see that's beautiful, everything that you see that's good, in a short period of time, it's going to begin to decay. It's going to begin to crack, and it's going to begin to splinter because what do you have if you don't build on the foundation of God? See, Jesus is the only true foundation. The Bible talks about the stone, which is speaking of Jesus Christ, which was set at naught of you builders. The head of the corner, it was rejected. That's why we're in a world today. You know, it's almost like when you go somewhere and, you know, you're invited to pray. You know, at an event that there has a mixed, mixed audience. It's okay to pray and say, God. But just long as you're not talking about Jesus. But the Bible makes it clear that there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved other than the name of Jesus. It says there's one God and one mediator between man, God and men, the man Christ Jesus. No other. And without that foundation and you begin to build the wrong way, it's people say, well, you know, are you religious? Well, I'm religious, but I'm not asking you religious. I'm asking you, do you know God? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You see, when you start on the wrong foundation, the next thing you do is you begin to build with the wrong materials. See, when you're building with the wrong materials, you start adding the wrong things to your life. And it's peculiar to me. I heard a story recently of someone who was involved in a religion, and it's a religion, okay? They said, we write our own Bible. And he said, I've got to get home, and I've got to write a few verses in my Bible. Can I tell you today, and you laugh at that, I want to tell you, anybody in America today that doesn't have a relationship with God, that's not following the Bible, guess what you're doing? You're writing your own Bible. Because every day when you get up, rather than looking to the Word of God as your guide and your leader, you're deciding what's right and wrong. You've become your own God, and you decide if it's all right. Can I tell you that constant rejection of truth destroys one's sense of truth? And sometimes when I read the Word of God, I may not like what it says, but I surrender to its authority because John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. You go over and read a reference verse and you find out the Word of the Trinity, as they're talking about it, is Jesus Christ Himself. When you build with the wrong materials, what do you have? Here's what you have. You have worldly wisdom. You get humanism. What's humanism? It's when I get up in the morning. I don't know if you like what you see. I'm getting where I really don't. You look in the mirror. Say, well, hello, God. What are you going to do today, God? What do you feel like's all right today? Because you become your own God. And sometimes because people need something to follow, we've got all kinds of religions in the world today. Some of them are absolutely ridiculous when you begin to think about it, and we think about the things that they do and the things that they say. Millions of gods in Hinduism. And they go over there and they're starving to death, and they've got cattle walking up and down the streets, and they're afraid to eat the cattle because it might be their reincarnated uncle. Now, we say that, and we snicker about it, and we laugh about it, but I want to tell you, it's just as silly for people to think today that they can go through life, and they can live their life and die without having a relationship with God. So many anti-God philosophies. You hear it in politics all the time, and here's how bad it had gotten. It's simmered down just a little bit, but you'll have someone openly make a comment, well, we can't seriously consider that candidate to be senator or to be House of Representatives or to be governor, because after all, they believe in God and the Bible. There have been a lot of statements like that. I heard one on a television show, and I want to tell you, you got to be careful what you watch on TV. This is another one of them. I call it a drive-by, because that's about all I do with TV today. And it was one of them flipped, and you hear it, and I said, I can't stand no more of that. Turn it. But it had a guy on there, and they were kind of mocking him, and they said, you know, he's a Christian. He actually believes he's going to heaven. And they all snickered. Can I tell y'all, I actually believe I'm going to heaven. Colossians 2:8 says this, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. What about the ones that are too smart for God? You know, there's a verse, and I do have my iPad for after church if you need it, because I didn't have this one written down. But it talks about teachings of science that are falsely so called. You see, I believe if you're a Christian and you look at it, science doesn't disprove the Bible, it proves the Bible. And I actually did a lot of research on evolution because I had a 15-minute window in a public speaking class at West Georgia College, and I was going to lay the Word of God on them. And I studied it, and I looked, and I found quote after quote after quote where scientists actually said, there is no proof that evolution is true. There is no proof. There is no missing link. But then they went on to say, but the idea of a creator God was unacceptable. So we had to do something. You see, there is no proof for evolution. It takes faith. It takes a lot of faith to believe that you come from nothing. But that's what you have. You see, when you don't build on the right foundation and you start building with the wrong materials, you're going to believe anything that'll support the Bible that you have written. So which foundation is it? See, they have a distorted vision of what the house should be. You see, without God being in the foundation, your priorities are wrong, your values are wrong, your understanding is wrong, because you're limited to a finite mind that's godless. And you're trying to develop a philosophy for life. The problem is there are storms that are going to come that you won't know what to do with. What do you do when you get to the point that you've put your whole hope in life, in your thought, your teaching, your understanding, without God? And you get to the point that you need hope. Where do you get your hope from? You remember the movie, God's Not Dead, the first one. You got the little girl who's the secular reporter, and she's criticizing all the Christians, and she's running in to criticize the newsboys for putting on a Christian conference. And during the process, you know what happened with her life? It got broke. See, what do you do when you don't have God as a foundation, you hadn't built with the right materials, and you go into the doctor and he says you got 3 months to live? Or you have a child and it becomes your whole world, and all of a sudden you realize that something may not be exactly right with it. What do you do when you put your trust in somebody and you're trusting in them to love you, and one day your world is turned upside down? Where do you go when you don't have God? You don't have anywhere to go. See, I don't believe God is a crutch. I believe God is a king. He's my Father. He's my Deliverer. He is even my friend. That's in the Bible. And when I come to Him and I cry out to Him and He comforts me, and I was thinking, and I'm ready for the choir to do this song again, Under His Wings. I don't know about you, but there are times I have to run under His wings. You see, when you start with the wrong foundation, the wrong materials, and you end up with a distorted sense of accomplishment. See, what happens is you start to value the wrong things. You don't value the things that you should. Sometimes the value is actually on things that you shouldn't even have in your life. You begin to praise the wrong things, and before you know it, I've heard this out of people who are Christians, but I've heard it out of people who weren't Christians even more. I can't believe I did that. You must stay with God. Then you have this, a false sense of security. Psalms chapter 20 and verse 7 says this, and I want you to think about this in light of America. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I realize I need to save. I need to work. I need to save. I need to plan. And sometimes it's like, I should have thought of this 30 years ago.
Amen. Every day. Amen.
And even when you do, here's what happens. Everything in your life could change just like that. You don't have any control over the stock market. You don't have any control over the economy. You could go to work in the morning, and I've been through this. They got the doors chained together. You see, the truth is there's absolutely no security in this world. Our security comes from God. You know, He sees us, He loves us, and He cares for us. And I believe God's going to take care of us. But what happens when people don't have a relationship with God, they put their trust in the wrong thing? That's why during the stock market crash, and this was a time when there were more Christians per capita in America than there is today, people were jumping out of windows of buildings. People were taking their life because their hope was in the mighty dollar bill. That's why the scripture says you cannot serve God and mammon. You say, well, I don't love money, I don't trust in money. What about our military? You know, I've heard it so many times, and I've heard people say, we're not worried about North Korea. We're not worried about China. We're not worried about Russia. You know what they think? They think we're untouchable. You know, when I hear that, I don't think you guys understand. You know, the greatest Bible college course that I ever took was when I studied history, and I began to look at how God blessed America, especially to be able to come through World War II. To be able to build the army that we built in that period of time and go over to Japan and go to Germany and go to Italy and go to Africa and fight on all those fronts. And although we lost 250,000 plus men, I want to tell you something. It is a fraction of what we defeated. A fraction. And when I read it, and I look at how we would storm islands in the Philippines that were dug in, that had trenches built, that they knew we were coming, and they were waiting on us. And they expect thousands of casualties. And we're able to defeat them. And you know what I thought? I thought, God, You have truly blessed America. God, You have truly blessed us. And I want to tell you something. Yes, we do have wealth, and yes, we do have a strong military, but let's don't forget the fact that we have what we have because we serve a living God that has smiled on us. Doesn't the scripture say that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord? So if our sense of security comes from anywhere but Him, it'll be broken. Just like the little girl in the movie who walks in to criticize the newsboys, and she said something about, do you really going to go out here and tell all these people that they can have hope in Christ? She stuck the mic in their face. And they just stopped and said, well, yes, we are. Then they said, Amy, where do you get your hope? And her head dropped. Because the doctor has already told her she's got terminal cancer. The boyfriend that she thought loved her, when he found out about it, he turned his back and walked out on her. Now, folks, we've all been through trials and difficulties and tribulations, and there are people in this church right now that desperately that are not here with us this morning. Folks, some of these empty seats, don't think these people don't care. Some of them are carrying such a burden that they cannot be here this morning. And we need to lift them up. But here's what I believe. I believe the God that saved us, the God that hears us, the God that pours out His blessing on us, He can restore us. He can restore them. And the devil is not going to have his way. He's a liar. Our hope comes from God. We don't have a false sense of security. We have security in our Lord. Because He can help us through this life. Doesn't the Scripture say that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord? You see, false sense of security leads to this, and I don't like this. And I don't like it even for the world. You ever had anybody just do you wrong, 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 and then you see them fall? Be careful about enjoying it. Don't enjoy it. You see, what happens is you reap the consequences of what you've built. See, what you build is what you get. If you want a life without God, that's what you get. You want to go through your life and not cry out to the Lord and not accept Christ as your Savior and never put your trust and your hope in Christ? That's what you get. In Hosea 8:7, it says this, and this is something that I pray in my prayers for this country, and I would love to see a great revival, but it's my prayer that we'd never see this. It says, "For they sow the wind, but they reap the whirlwind." Here are the principles of sowing. If you've ever sown anything, if you've ever planted anything, I don't plant gardens much, but I do put in the food plots for the deer. What I found is if I plant corn, I get corn. If I plant peas, I get peas. And it's amazing to me sometimes when I sow that seed, what grows afterwards. See, here are the principles of sowing. You get what you sow, number one. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to get. And then number two, and this is the wind reaping the whirlwind, you get more than you sow. See, one little kernel of corn can produce an ear that can have five stalks on it that's just full of kernels. And then the third is this, and this is what we need to understand. Nobody's getting away with anything. The third principle of sowing is later than you sow. In other words, it's coming. And then the last. See, when you build on the wrong foundation, your foundation will not hold its ground. It's going to sink. See, a foundation without God is a foundation that's built on the sand. A foundation on the stand when the storm comes and the winds blow and they beat against it. And the truth is, even when your foundation is solid, you have to deal with that. We have to learn how to deal with that. We have to learn how to cope with the storms of life. But what if your foundation is not? You see, if we look at God's Word and we understand all through the Bible, there are those who had understood what it meant to build God's way. I love this and I use it a lot, but it fits. I love the prayer of Jabez. He understood how important it was to build and to build God's way when he called on the God of Israel and he said, "Oh, that you'd bless me indeed, and you'd enlarge my coast, and that your hand would be with me, and that you'd keep me from evil, that it would not grieve me." And the Scripture said that God granted him that which he requested. He asked God early. If you'd help him build. David understood it. All you got to do is read Psalms 23 when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is the one that I look to, the one that helps me." Paul understood it. You know, Paul started out persecuting the church. His name was Saul, and God changed his name, and he finished out his life serving God, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Give up things for God, he said this, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." See, Samson learned it. God had blessed him and poured out blessings on him. And I know people that are like this today. God just pours out blessings on them, and they take it for granted, and they don't use it the way God wants them to. But he eventually learned. Standing in the house when it brought him forth to mock him, and he put his hands on the pillars. See, he had lost his power because he wasn't being obedient to God. God restored it. As a rich man in the chapter 12 of Luke, he learned it. You see, he went through his whole life, and there were a man, little old Lazarus, that was at his gate full of sores. And you know, sometimes we look around us at the world that we're living in, and I want to tell you, don't take it at face value. Don't judge people. Even the ones that you think you've got figured out, we don't have anything figured out. Man looks on the outward appearance, but only God can see into the heart. You know, if you look at that story, you think, well, I want to be like the rich man. Well, it didn't last long. See, what did he live? 70 years? 80 years? He fared sumptuously every day, but the scripture says when he died, he lifted his eyes in torments. And he could see afar off, and this is getting into some dispensation, but he said he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. That's in the paradise of God. And he was comforted. But he wasn't comforted. You know why? Because he's an example of everything I've preached this morning. He built on the wrong foundation with the wrong things, thinking he could do it God his way, did it without God, got to the end and realized there's more to this than I thought there was. But here's what I want us to understand. Every person that's privileged and blessed to be here this morning, as Brother Jeff comes and gets us on, we're privileged and blessed to be here this morning because we are in the presence of God. We have a God that hears us, that loves us, that's willing to help us. I don't know what you're going through. It doesn't matter. I don't have to know the details, but I'll tell you what I believe with all my heart. Whatever it is, God wants to meet you here this morning, help you. God wants to give you something. If you're here, I want to tell you the most important thing you'll ever do with your life is accept Christ. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, if you'd like to come, we'll pray with you. If you'd like to talk to somebody, we'll talk to you. You can bow your head and do it right where you're at, but you need to accept Him before it's too late. Amen. If you're here and you're struggling and you say, well, you know, I've been struggling, and this is something I want to understand. I was talking to somebody this morning, and this has really been on my heart. I've been struggling. I believe in Christ, and I believe in Jesus, but you know, I'm just struggling. I'm struggling in this world. I hadn't really figured out exactly what it means to walk, you know, in the peace and the grace of God. And it just seems like it. I'm having these battles. You keep coming. You keep learning. You don't stay away from the house of God too long because the devil will try to convince you it's all right out there. It's not. Keep coming. If you've got a burden, lay it down. If you've got a heartache, bring it to Jesus. Ask you if you would to rise to your feet, as Brother Jeff sings. I believe I've said what God wants me to say this morning. But you got to decide to come to Him. Would you come right now as He sings? Would you come?